If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with everybody today. Very special show. We do this seasonally. With me is the legendary Rob Lauder. I don't know your middle name, so I'm just going to assume it's Larry. Rob Larry Lauder is with us today of the Strikey Gold Podcast. How are you, my friend?
Lieutenant Simplejack is here, man. That's it.
It is a good day, man. Today is a good day.
You want to know my real name or my full name?
Yeah, let's get
it out
there.
My name is Robert Newton Lauder the 5th.
Whoa, the 5th?
Yeah, Robert Newton Lauder the 6th is sleeping in the other room, man.
Dude, that is fire.
It's Newton. A little excessive. It's a little ridiculous, but I embrace it.
It is standard generations. I'm just saying.
Yes. I've got a picture of the first Robert Newton Lauder, and it's like one of those classic ones sitting in a chair with like the rifle in his hand. It's like all like that sepia black and white era photo. It's pretty sweet.
That is awesome. My middle name is Lamar. I'm named after my uncle. Yeah. Jonathan Lamar. I could rock with that. Like
you should already have multiple albums.
Well, you know, it does get me a free drink every now and then. And so I always use that and then I bust out the ID and say, no, it's actually my middle name. but I understand that is what it is. So today is going to be a lot of fun because we do this every year in anticipation of the draft. And we're going to be doing another show next Monday as well. And for everybody that is watching us live or however you do this, make sure you take the time. Go type in Striking Gold. I can't talk. Wherever you download your audio podcast, make sure you check it out, man. It's with Blue Wire, best freaking awesome, amazing people over there. So Rob, you've been crushing it for a minute. You got your credentials. You always freaking bring in A+ content. You and KP, shout out to KP. Excited about this show, and we're going to be doing a weird mock draft simulation today. Lots of mock drafts out there, but we want to present a two-tiered approach to the draft. So we're going to do two mock drafts at the same time. One of the caveats is risk versus ceiling, like risk and ceiling, like these boom or bust home run type picks that are kind of risky. And then at the exact same time, try to also do the other side of approach and see how these two pan out. And the other side would be safe, perfect fits, you know, no misses, hit the ball down the fairway, kind of what they've done, I would argue, maybe the last two drafts. A lot of just, man, getting good players that fit your scheme, maybe not getting those home run type guys. But so, yeah, these two different approaches. Do you lean one way or another usually? Are you swing for the fences draft approach, or are you just kind of, hey, hit the ball down the fairway, live to play another day?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I probably the first one. Probably, I mean, the thing is like, especially, and PFF wrote this fantastic article that talked about the chances of draft picks succeeding in general. And in their way of defining it, it was just basically the percentages of snaps played since they were drafted to the team. And once you start to look into that, the chances of a draft pick succeeding drop very quickly. It goes from like, I want to say first round was like 50%. And then it's like 25. It's like everything gets sliced in half per round. So if you look at it that way, your chances of even a third round pick succeeding are like less than like 15%, 20%, somewhere in there. So it, to me, it's like you're already gambling. And in what ways can you make the odds better, like for yourself, you know? And there's nothing beats landing a player that just changes your team and changes the league per se. And the 49ers have found ways to do that. But to me, if you can find a player with variables already taken out of the equation for you, you got to understand that you're operating in a realm of the odds of this player succeeding are already not great. You know, they're barely even odds that you would want to gamble with, you know? And so if you can eliminate risk and make it a better chance to where your team just gets better. And I know that sounds like a low bar, but when you understand the fact that draft picks just have such a low chance of succeeding, a good NFL GM is like a batting average. If they're over 300, they're doing a good job. So when you understand that, you try and make it to where your odds are better. So maybe things align sometimes. Like, hey, you had a horrible season and you end up with a Nick Bosa, where it both can be true. You know, you're safe and the pick's going to get hit out of the park. But if I had to choose between one, I would just hit doubles, and then, you know what I mean, as often as I could.
Yeah, I like that too. And like, that's the thing. And most of the people that are watch or download these shows, like your Niner-centric coverage, there's nothing wrong with that. But we get a little tunnel vision sometimes, and you're like, man, we haven't drafted like all these all-pro players or whatever else. But what other teams have? You can pick and choose certain teams that do amazing in the draft, and there are those. The Eagles, you talk about the Seahawks, obviously, recently. And even like the Rams, like who have notoriously been known as great drafters. You look at the Rams draft class last year, it was terrible. It was awful. Like it's only 1 year removed, but getting those players that play a lot and can facilitate your team and build that out. You're picking 27 this year, and this is not a home run type draft. There will be some home runs that kind of surprise, but I'm sorry. At pick 27, like, I am very skeptical. I think I did 16 first round grades. I'm very skeptical one of those 16 first round graded players will be there. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope the 49ers have a similar kind of whatever, but we'll kind of see how that goes. So that's what we got today. It's going to be fun. We'll see how this goes. Yeah, we got everybody talking about Josh Hockett out there doing his thing in UFC. Are you a UFC guy?
I used to be a huge UFC guy, but I kind of faded away from it over time. Dude, I used to, when I was in the military in Texas, I used to go sit in Buffalo Wild Wings for like 8 hours. I would just hang out and eat, you know, fried pickles and watch UFC, because they used to let you watch the fights for free there. And I would just make sure I had a table for me and some of the homies, and we'd watch. So it's kind of faded over time. I don't know why. I still enjoy kind of keeping up. But, and to your point, though, I think you made a good point earlier about pick 27, and it gets thrown around a lot. Like, they're like, well, Cassius Howell has short arms, or Denzel Boston, you know, doesn't quite separate as well as you want. And I always have to say to myself, okay, you're picking at 27. If Cassius Howell had longer arms, 27 wouldn't even touch him. If Denzel Boston, you know, tested, ran a 4.4 or a 4.5, and could separate more, he'd go top 10. Like, it's just, there's concessions you have to make when you're picking a player at this stage. 27, and especially in this draft, I've heard a lot of people say how quickly this draft kind of starts to drop off. Like you said, you only had 16 first round graded players. So there's going to be flaws in all of these prospects. So to go back to the question you asked me, it's like, what are the easiest ones to live with? What are the ones that you can think translate to the most to NFL success? So it's like, it's just stuff you have to keep in mind. Like, yeah, you want, you know, I wish the 49ers could have an Arvell Reese, like, but that guy's going to go two or three. You know, when the whole package comes together, those are the guys that go top 10. We're picking 27. So
there we go. I like it. All right, let's get started. Without further ado, we'll see how long we go through all this fun stuff. We're going to be using NFL Mock Draft Database, which, you know, doesn't have all the bells and whistles and whatever, but I think that they do some of the best jobs with reflective boards moving. Like you do some of like the PFF mocks or PA, like other sites, and you get in there and it's just like, man, there's no way this guy's going to be there. A lot of that. So we'll see how it goes. Now, we'll talk some trades at when we're on the clock, but we're not going to be trading up because, again, we're doing two drafts off the same board, which is going to be confusing in and of itself. So we're not going to be trading up or any of those things. We're just going to start it. We're going to simulate all the way to pick 27, and we're going to see what's presented, and we'll tackle those as we get there. And so remember, if you're just joining us, the whole concept today is we're doing two drafts at the same time. One of them is swing for the fences, boom or bust, high ceiling players. And then the other draft is going to be safe, you know, keep the ball in the fairway. We need to just watch the Masters. We can use that analogy. You know, just scheme fits, not a lot of risk to them. And we're going to see how those two drafts pan out. Now, I do have to say, like, you know, whatever you use in the mock draft database, whatever, it does kind of freeze a little bit. You got to be a little patient with it. But so we got a couple trades. We have five trade offers, and they do
look at all the 2027
picks. Yeah, this is the we're not going to accept any of these, but I do want to talk through them as possibilities or not. The Atlanta Falcons offering a fourth rounder this year, but a second, 3-6-7 next year. Not very feasible.
This is Sonny Weaver from draft day, just trying to jump back up to sixth overall.
I want my picks back, you pancake eating MF-er.
It's a guilty pleasure, man. I can't get over it.
All right, right here we got the Vegas Raiders offering pick 36, so you would fall back 9 spots and get 2 fourth rounders next year. Yeah, it's not really doing much for me. I do want a bunch of picks in 2027, but I doubt that they would do that unless you're going to get a third or something next year. Here we go. The Packers offering a bunch of picks, falling back almost to the end of the second round for a 2-3-5 this year, a 4-5 next year. Again, not very realistic. You don't see trades like that happen very often. Eagles offering a 2-3 this year and a fourth next year. That's a far
more
drop
in the realm of reality.
A little bit. But no,
it's just the jump is so huge.
This one is real. And I think that this is one that could work out. The Tennessee Titans offering the pick 35, their fourth rounder, which is the very first pick in the fourth round, and their fifth rounder. I don't think it's the very first, but it's one of the first fourth picks. So you get a fourth and a fifth, and it's a super high early fourth, which would be about 30 picks ahead of your fourth rounders that you have now. Maybe about 25 picks ahead of that. But again, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Rob, on if this trade was offered? Is this something that you would take? Would it depend on what's on the board, or are you just like automatic no or automatic yes?
Definitely not automatic. And it has to like, and I'm assuming NFL teams do this, you know, they probably scout the cost long before the draft, the week of the draft. You know, they make phone calls and say, hey, if we want to move from this to this, you know, and this is what we'd offer, you know, would that be something? And I think a lot of the teams, they say, yeah, we'd take that. It would just depend on how the board fell, and they'd go from there. Now, this is something that's a little more realistic. What I like about the early fourth is you could very easily take another one of your fourths and couple it with the early fourths and then bump yourself into the third round to take advantage of some of that talent and bridge that gap from the second and the late fourth that they have now. You know, that'd be nice because you can just take, you know, you can even use the fifth that they're giving you here just to try and get yourself into the third round and bridge the gap that you created by trading for Osa Odighizuwa. But so this is the most realistic one I've seen. And this would be something I'd keep in my back pocket going into draft day. If you get there and there's a run on receivers and pass rushers right in front of you, and you're not really feeling the offensive tackles or any of the other positions, the safeties or what have you, then, you know, I'd do it.
Yeah, I would not be opposed to that. But for today's purposes, not so much. So let's look at what is available. Oof. Okay, I'm going to go over the big board. Yeah, Dylan Thienemann fell. Keldrick Falk fell. Caleb Lahmu, Avion Terrell. You got all of the Clemson guys. Blake Miller, Peter Woods, TJ Parker, CJ Allen, Colton Hood, Zion Young, Caleb Banks, Brandon Sissy, who I'm really low on. Emmanuel Pregnon, Chris Johnson.
Is it Chase the last Santas. Name? Did the last name hurt him?
I just didn't like his tape. I had to turn one game off because I was like, okay, I'm disliking this player. Maybe he's having a bad day. Maybe he's sick, whatever else. Turned on another one, and I liked it less than the first one. Turned that one off, went to the third one, and it was just kind of on par. And I was like, okay, this is just a player that I'm just going to – like, I think I put a fourth-round grade on Brandon Sissy, the cornerback from South Carolina, but I was just like – some guys I just don't like, and right. You know, it's just not a fit for me. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Chris Johnson, Emmanuel Pregnon, Chase Besantis, Malachi Lawrence, Jacob Rodriguez, Jadarian Price, R. Mason Thomas. Pick of the litter, but and let me just say this, because I always want to put this caveat out there. Somebody's going to fall, and the board might not look like this, but it gives us a relative launching point to discuss. And so that's kind of where I want to start. Now, I am under the impression, and I could be way wrong, that the 49ers are going to be looking at wide receiver and edge at some point days one and day two. Maybe they don't go those positions early, but I would be shocked if they walked out of here without those two positions. What are your thoughts overall on this board and kind of what you're seeing?
Well, And I totally agree. I think that the way this draft is kind of built kind of helps the 49ers quite a bit. There's a nice little crop of late first round graded wide receivers that could land in their lap. And there's a nice little crop of late first round edge rushers that could also land in their lap. It's very much a pick your flavor at both positions. There's like, even if you just take the three that are most commonly in the conversation with the 49ers, Omar Cooper Jr., Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, three receivers that offer you something completely different. It's almost like you put Denzel Boston on one side, you put Casey Concepcion on the other, and then you put Omar Cooper Jr. right in the middle as kind of like a blend of the two. You got to take away the size part of things, but man, I love looking at Chris Bell. But the way the board fell, though, Dillon Danneman falling to them at that, like, I don't see the 49ers valuing safety that high, but if a player like that fell to them at that point, that's something you have to consider. Now, looking at it, that's like almost a blend of what we want to do. It's safe, and it would be, to me, kind of a home run pick. Now, obviously, it depends on how you feel about safety, how you feel about positional value in the first round. But given their safety play last year, it wasn't great. You know,
it was awful.
Not great, Bob. So it's at this, I mean, that's a position of need. It's not, doesn't rank very high on the positional value chart, but if a player like that was sitting there, you could plug in next to somebody like Malik Mustafa, because I think I'd rather have him on the field than Jair Brown. And now you've got a guy that kind of has a little bit of a blend of both. He's good at down by the line of scrimmage. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and he can hang in coverage. You know, he can make plays. And I think he showed everybody a little bit more athleticism and speed than they thought he would have at the combine. So you go back to the tape and you're like, does this reflect that? And he's got a lot of interceptions. You know, he doesn't have a problem getting his hand on the ball. So that's a cool pick, because it kind of blends what we're thinking. But if you go back, can you go back to the everybody tab?
Yes, sir. And just before we jump off Dillon Thienemann, he's the 18th overall on the board for draft, for mock draft out. He's my 19th highest rated player. I mean, he's a damn good player.
Keldrick Falk, a little redundant. You know, like, it's almost like you're drafting Mykel Williams again. I think he only had 2 sacks last year.
Yeah, he had a rough year. I mean, Auburn was terrible, but he played the Buck style end in kind of the Georgia system, where he's going against 2 blockers every play. Like, it's designed to, hey, you're going to stop the run.
More of a hold your ground than a get after the quarterback.
He had 7 the year before, definitely didn't excel, but that's just kind of what Auburn does every year. But yeah, you're Mykel Williams clone, but younger. He's going to be 20 whenever he plays his first game in the NFL, youngest player in the draft.
So, you know, I don't know if that qualifies as a swing for your fences. That might be a little bit safe. That feels safe to me. Now, the problem with this is it's impressive. If you think about Keldrick Falk, Osa Odighizuwa, Nick Bosa, Alfred Collins, Mykel Williams, you know, that's a nice little group of players. But does your pass rush get better? Does your ability to get after the quarterback get better? Not necessarily, but at the same time, you're looking at the board, who is going to make your pass rush better? That's not quite a bit down the line. So I don't know, man. What do you think? Where are you leaning, and what's our safe and what's our swing?
Yeah,
for the fence?
I will say this about Keldrick Falk. I will be betting very consistently that he goes early. I'm going to put a lot of money. Like, I just think he's going to be on everyone's board. A high character, high build. You know, the production wasn't there this past year, but Auburn's a train wreck. Whenever you watch him and Kenyon Crawford, you're just like, what the hell are we doing defensively? Like, what are we doing? But I think Keldrick Falk's going to go early just because his ceiling, that's the thing. He's a ceiling play. He's 20 years old with elite traits, measurables, character. I mean, this guy took his own NIL money and paid it to walk on players at Auburn because he felt that they deserved it. Like he's 20. like I have a first round grade on him, but the redundancy is definitely the issue. Now, sticking to the edge, the 49ers are definitely going to focus on edge. Here are the top-rated edge: Keldrick Falk, TJ Parker, Zion Young, Malachi Lawrence, R. Mason Thomas. Like, so if we were going edge, I'm fine with the 49ers taking Keldrick Falk if he falls. I really am. Like, he's just too clean a kid.
Would you consider that safe?
I would. But he's a ceiling play, too.
Let's make him our safe.
Okay, because we don't like wide receiver, right? Like, Chris Bell, Chris Brazel's there, Jeremy Bernard. Like, I don't think that the way the board fell, wide receiver, I don't think that that's a good pick.
If we would have traded back, then maybe impossible. These guys, maybe you feel a little bit better about these guys, but
it just went wide receiver heavy, which might happen.
Right. Yeah. It very well could happen. So, I mean, it wouldn't, neither of these. I'm a big Chris Bell guy. I love, like, that dude just has.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
I remember when you texted me,
like, it's just like, he looks like he's playing and he's not a flawless prospect by any means. You know, he doesn't have some of the finer points of being a receiver and route running, but he plays the game at like a different power level and speed than a lot of the guys he faced. Like, and he's very much, you know, Omar Cooper Jr. had a lot of Debo-esque qualities. Well, Chris Bell after the catch has some Debo, like he will run people over and then just hit this gear that nobody around him has. Now, coming off an ACL tear, does he still have that gear? Is that even going to be a factor? For the good thing about if the 49ers wanted to go that route with somebody like Chris Bell is they've kind of set them up for short-term success with who they got on the roster, with Mike Evans, with Christian Kirk, with hopefully a healthy Ricky Pearsall. But you can say that about half the roster, the hopefully they're healthy type thing. But I like Chris Bell, but not here. That I'm not even sure that would qualify for swing for the fences. That would be risky as hell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so, like, here's what's kind of crazy is the way the board fell, like, for a quote-unquote risky pick, I'm struggling finding one. Zion Young maybe is risky because the off-the-field stuff.
He wouldn't even be on my – if I had a draft board, he would be off of it.
He's me as well. Like, you know, there's D-line, Lee Hunter. He's risky for sure. He's pass rush defensive tackle that just kind of hasn't put it together. But like Chris Bell's risky because of the injuries. Chris Johnson, the corner, for sure, a little bit risky just because of player competition. But nobody could compete against him. Like, dude's so freaking.
He almost looked disinterested at times. Like, he was just so much better than the guys he was facing. Which is, it's just, if you're going to play in that, that's what it should look like.
But Dylan Thienemann. It's risky to take that type of player at that position.
Maybe that's where your risk comes from. It's the positional value.
But dude,
you're also putting yourself at a disadvantage. If you've said, you know, and here's the thing, man, it's like, it's so hard to do and so few NFL teams do it, but you shouldn't draft for need. You should draft for stars. You should draft for just talent because everybody loves to say, oh, well, they don't need this. Well, it was only like 2 years ago where the 49ers had absolutely no need for a receiver. And now look at him, the cupboard's pretty bare. So you should be drafting for talent. You should be, your draft should take your overall talent meter and raise it more than it should fill needs. I feel like, you know, it's like you should be trying to find young studs, young stars, not guys that you're just hoping can step in and fill a need, because how big of an impact do most rookies have anyways? Depends on the position, but I think the risk with Dylan Thienemann comes in the positional value, because what I was about to say is you take a safety first, you have no edge, you have no receiver, and now you're hoping somebody good falls in you in round two. And then your next pick isn't until the end of round four, so one of those picks is getting almost neglected. But it's risky, but man, I think Dylan Thienemann could be a star, you know? And when a player that's if the 49ers had him ranked 18th on their big board and he's there at 27, wouldn't you say it's almost organizational malpractice to not take him? Like, why is he up there on your big board then?
Yeah.
If you're not going to take him, like,
and that's the thing. Like, I've seen people talk about Malachi Lawrence, who I think is a great scheme fit for the 49ers. I think a realistic option at pick 27. The problem with the way the board fell is Keldrick Faulk there. And, you know, I have Keldrick Faulk as my edge number three. I have Malachi Lawrence as my edge six. I like Malachi Lawrence. I'm cool with him going at pick 27, but not if Keldrick Faulk is there. And I just looked at Dane Brugler. Keldrick Faulk is his fourth edge. Malachi Lawrence is seventh. Mock draftable. They have Keldrick Faulk 19, Malachi Lawrence 43. I think Malachi Lawrence should go in the 20s to 30s, but I think Keldrick Faulk should go top 15. So just dipping back into that conversation with the board and how those things. I like Dylan Thienemann. I value safety. The 49ers haven't. So this is why I'm saying, you know, I'm looking at the two different approaches, the safe fit scheme, whatever character, all those things, traits. Keldrick Faulk would be my pick for that.
That has to be the pick there.
And then Dylan Thienemann for the risk ceiling pick, because, dude, that's what Howie Roseman would do, right? Like, I think the Eagles might actually draft Dylan Thienemann. I think he fits exactly what they want. So, like, you know, we always complain like, man, why don't we do what they do? Like, this would be do what the Eagles or the Seahawks do. That's their style. So any other thoughts on like the risk ceiling pick not being Dylan Thienemann? Are we okay with that?
No, I like Dylan Thienemann for the risk. And what I like about it is it adds a little bit of complexity to the term risk, because it's not like you consider the player a risky selection. It's that you consider the positional value, and it may leave you a little thin in another spot going into the season, right? Like,
look at this comment from James. Falk, 1.5 sacks, let's go.
Right.
I love you, James. You are incredible, man. And again, if we do a pick that you just upsets your stomach, plug it in. This isn't real. So, like, if you are diehard, Malachi Lawrence, just, okay, you get your notes out. Type it in your cell phone or whatever. Like, okay, Malachi Lawrence, take him with this pick and build it out with the board the way that it's falling. So I'm going to make the picks on here. I'm keeping track on my notes document, the advanced Microsoft Word. But I'm going to make the picks here for the risky pick. So Dylan Thienemann, that's who we took. And our risk ceiling pick was the safety Dylan Thienemann. And on our safe fit mock or whatever, we took Keldrick Fault. Okay. So that's where we are. So now let's jump to round two. Oh, geez. Jadarian Price is still there, running back. That is, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan's going to be able to get over that. We don't have any trade offers that came through.
When they see the board fall like that, the moment they know he's going to be available, they're going to ask Kyle to leave the room for something. Like,
yeah, Kyle, can you go?
We got these pizzas at the door, man. Can you go swoop those up for us? And by the time he comes back, they've made the pick.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so here's the updated. You're already seeing it, aren't you?
I see him down there.
Okay, here we go. I'll just go over. These are the best rated players according to Mock Draft Database. Jadarian Price, running back, Notre Dame. Anthony Hill, Jr., Texas. Lee Hill, defensive tackle, Tech. Gabe Akers, edge. Oof. Eli Stowers, tight end. D'Angelo Pons, the corner. Jeremy Bernard, AJ Halsey. He's one of my favorites. Keelan Rutledge. And every single time I've ever done a mock draft, whenever I get to the second round, I'm excited. Because there's always just quality on quality, because there's not a big difference between pick 27 and pick 50. What are we on, 58?
You were like that for the third round last year, too. Whenever you got to the third round, you'd be excited because the 49ers had multiple picks in that round, and you just loved the crop of players that were always available in that spot.
Now, we got to highlight the wide receivers, which Jeremy Bernard might be the safest player in this entire draft class, like all over the place. Like,
he's like he's ready to roll football player. Like, here's your made to order wide receiver. And Kyle Shanahan is going to like Jeremy Bernard and the way he plays football.
So here's the big board at wide receiver: Jeremy Bernard, Malachi Fields, Elijah Surratt, Ted Hurst, Skylar Bell. Skylar Bell is one of my rush crush. I know Crocker.
I heard that. Well, I heard that.
Like, I love Skylar Bell. Bryce. So like, Skylar Bell would be in the Jeremy Bernard conversation. Just safe, scheme fit, can play everywhere. Bryce Lance is one of the most boomer bust picks ever. It's so like, anyway. So we've got two safe options here at the wide receiver position, and like, man, I don't know. What are your thoughts here as we've gone through the big board? I don't want to jump too soon into this.
I mean, I already feel like I have my two picks. I feel like,
okay.
I'm not calling it, because we got to discuss. That's what we're here to do. Safe to me has, and we went Keldrick Falk with the safe. So we went edge rusher. It's almost like it's lining up for us. I think your safe pick's got to be Jeremy Bernard. It's at a position of need. It's exactly the type of wide receiver Kyle Shanahan's going to appreciate. He's not a burner. He's not fast, but he's a technician. He's a technical football player. He doesn't drop the ball, and he blocks. He blocks. He's like he doesn't necessarily explode at any one trait, but he's good at basically all of them. You know, like, there's not really anything I hate about his game. And to me, like, if I could create a list of all the things I find the most important in a wide receiver, speed would probably be like fourth, fifth, or sixth. It wouldn't be anywhere near the top, is my point. So, you know, Jeremy Bernard's not necessarily a speedster, but
he ran a 4.48. Like, he's not slow.
Everybody thinks I don't think anybody thinks 4.48 is slow, but watch someone run a 4.48. They're going. And then the other thing too, it's kind of silly. Like, if someone that ran a 4.48 raced somebody that ran a 4.38, they'd be very close together. You know, it's like, I think the 40 kind of gets blown out of proportion sometimes, but especially when every team has GPS data, Like, show me how fast you're running in pads when you know the situation's burning in your head. But okay, anyways, I'm rambling. Jeremy Bernard, very safe, and matches up well with the Keldrick Falls first pick. And Gabe Yakus, man, like that is a bull in a china shop. Not necessarily a technician, might not have the foot speed you want, but it's because he's just so damn huge. You know, it's like he just looks like, what is, who does he remind me of? Who's the famous defensive lineman from the past? And I should know his name right now, but I just don't have it in my head right now. That got the head slap banned.
Oh.
He's like an all-timer. Like
was
one
it
of the
Suggs?
Best.
Was it Terrell Suggs?
No, somebody's going to know it. It was even before that. He used to just smack guys around. Like, it's just Gabe Yakus feels like that. Like, he's just an a-hole. Maybe. Maybe that was it.
I just Googled it, and that was the first thing that came up.
Yeah. That had to have been it.
There we go.
Yeah, Jones. Yeah, way back when. I'm going way back, but I couldn't even remember his name, so it's not that cool. But, yeah, I mean, those are kind of where I'm leaning. Where are you leaning, friend?
Man, so let's talk about Gabe, because he's a guy that the more I watch, the more I like. And so whenever I first watched my first game of him, I had him in like third round. I watched another game. I bumped him up to second round. I watched another game and I was like, golly, man, I can't just keep moving this guy up. Like, he's really good. I'm not trying to like knock him. And he's explosive. Like, he's got first round physical traits. But at the end of the day, like, I kind of just struggled with the idea of, okay, do I actually love this player, or is he just kind of fun to watch? He's just fun. you know, and this is right where Dane Brugler has him. This is right where I have him. This is right where Mock Draft has him. Like, kind of around this, like, 50, you know, range. Where's my actual – where did I slot him at? Probably would have been faster if I typed in. He's my 45th player.
But is he a risky pick? Is he a swing for the fences pick at all here? You know, I don't want to just go for a sweet mock draft.
I mean, he had a lot of sacks last year. He had 11, but like, you just, it's not consistent. Like, there is nothing that is consistent about his play. And so I understand that he's played a lot of football, which I do like, but at the same time, it's just like, man, like, does he fall into the risky? There's a lot of players out there that are riskier. Eli Stowers, he's much riskier. Lee Hunter, Anthony Hill, super risky. He's that edge. Anthony Hill's kind of the, you look at the, you know, Javon Walker from last year, he's kind of that type of a guy. He's not getting talked about a lot. I love Anthony Hill.
And the 49ers defensive coordinator is the guy that drafted Javon Walker.
Mike Washington Jr., super risky. Kyle Shanahan's going to like that one. But, I think that this fits. I'm not sure many would call Gabe Yakus really risky.
If that's really, truly our goal, then I don't want to sway away from that or cheese it just for the sake of doing a sweet mock draft. You know what I mean? We can do that anytime. But
it is a swing for the fences pick. So I think that I don't think that like it goes against what we're doing here. If the Niners took Dylan Thienemann and then Gabe Yakus, is there a wide receiver that would fit that mold that is on the big board here that is just like, man, Ted Hurst? Yeah, that would kind of be one. Bryce Lance would kind of be one. I don't think any of these other guys would be going that early. But so, because again, we went Dylan Thienemann.
Right.
In the risk, you know, high ceiling.
Who's the fifth round prospect that we're taking at 58?
Right. Everybody's going to say, yeah, everybody's like, Gabe, please. I know.
We understand.
Yeah. I'm cool with this because I do think that it is a ceiling, quote unquote, play or decision. I like this pick. So the two picks that we're going to do. In the safe fit, we took Kendrick Falk at 27. We're going to take Jeremy Bernard, the wide receiver, definition safety. Just fits everything the 49ers do down the middle. Awesome. I love that. And I agree with you. Could be a debate, Skylar Bell or Jeremy Bernard, but I'm perfectly fine with that decision. Then the risk or high ceiling mock, we went Dylan Thienemann, and now we're going to go Gabe Yakus, the stud from, look at this, we're drafting a Where's he at? There he is. Illinois. The Fighting Illini? How do you say it? Illini? There we go. I got it. I always struggle with that. Illini.
Is that what they really say?
Yeah, the Fighting Illini. Yeah.
They make fun of their own name and their people's inability to pronounce it.
Well, I'm from Texas, so it's not my thing. Yeah. So those are our picks. So now we're going to jump over to the fourth round, and we've got four picks in a row. Pick 127, 133, 138, and 139. We've got two trade offers. Give up our fourth rounder, pick 127, for Dallas's fifth. That fall back 50 spots. I do not want to do that. A fourth for 2 6 rounders. Nope.
60 spots.
I don't like either of those.
Yeah, these are silly.
I don't mind trading away some of the back end fourth rounders. We're probably not going to do that today, but we'll talk about that. Now, I want to take a second just real quick, if Rob doesn't mind. If anybody is traveling to Australia, where the 49ers are going to open the season, we have got you covered. We have planned out the entire trip, everything you need to know right here.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announcement of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com if you want to join us. And, man, the schedule releases a month out, which I'm pretty pumped, man. There's some fun trips on this one. Kansas City, I love. I went to grad school there. Get some barbecue. Dallas, more barbecue. It's going to be the barbecue just season trips, man. That's all we're going to do is just travel around and have a good time. Are you a barbecue guy? Uh-oh, you're muted. I got you. My bad.
Oh, you got me. I was like, I didn't touch nothing.
It happens sometimes. Hopefully I'm not muted. But
no, I can hear you.
Are you a barbecue guy, Rob? Come on, man.
Oh, I mean, come on, man.
I don't know about you Californians. I know Tri-Tip's wonderful out here, and I enjoy Tri-Tip, but
wait, where are you different. At?
I'm East Bay, so I'm over in El Cerrito.
Okay.
The Gauchos.
Got it.
But I struggle with California barbecue at times. I still get it all the time, but I get a little sad sometimes.
You know, it's you have to narrow your focus. Like in Texas and, you know, going that direction, they're going to be good at all the barbecue. Whereas like in California, you're probably going to find somebody that's mostly good at like one type. I got a place in Fresno called Doghouse Grill. That's their tri-tip is outstanding. Like, and, you know, I got a place down the street called The Meetup. Anyways, I'm not going to promote them. They didn't pay me anything, but. It's like everything's just more specific. They have to like specialize in order to hang.
Oh, look at this. Kawachipto, our resident draft expert. He says Illini is in reference to the Native American tribes. The name Illinois comes from Illini Wek. Dude, that's awesome. I freaking love that.
Yeah, that was a great little bit of information there.
All right, we are back on the board in the fourth round. Let's go over a little bit of the big board. Chandler Rivers, cornerback Duke. Deion Burks, he's going to be in contention for me for a risky pick. We don't have a wide receiver in that one. Jalen Farmer, Devin Moore, another high-risky player. I've got a medical red flag on him. Jacoby Lane, man, it's funny. A lot of these guys are high-risk players that are available. This is what happens in the fourth round.
As the rounds go.
Yeah, and so it just keeps kind of falling a little bit. Now, for Xavien Harris, who the 49ers met with, defensive tackle, multiple arrests. There's a lot of risk. Harold Perkins, like, man, I'm looking at this, and I see a couple of super safe players that I like. Zane Durant, super safe, defensive tackle, Penn State. He's a rush crush guy. Katron Allen fell. Holy cow. Big bruising running back, one of the all-time leader rushers at Penn State. I like a lot. There's a lot of guys.
And this is when we're going to have to start to lean in a little bit more into your expertise. I've started to sharpen up in the fourth round recently, but you're going to know a lot more of these guys than I'm going to know. So I'm taking a little bit more of a backseat here, but some of the names I know and some of the names I've watched, but you have obviously the repertoire.
Well, let's talk about Deion Burks. Is a player that I think is interesting. Now he's small, like he's your undersized 5'9", 180 guy. But if you see, he almost broke the record for most bench press reps, even though he's like one of the small.
I did see that. Okay.
I mean, he's freaking, you see him and you're just like, what the hell? Like, he's just shrunk down. That's all. But this dude's never missed a day in the gym ever. He ran a 4.3 flat, 5'9", 180, loves the block, played six seasons. You know, I'm not an OU guy. I'm a Longhorn. But like, this dude can kind of do a little bit of everything. From the Z or slot role or special teams role, like he could do a lot of that. It's just, is he just going to be a gadget guy because of his lack of size? He's small, right, but he's not weak. A very different build than Jacob Cowing, even though they're probably similar height and weight. But very different build. Let's look at, because in our ceiling draft, we've gone safety and we've gone edge. Like, we've got to get a wide receiver for that one. I feel like that is paramount almost. So I kind of want to cross that off the list. What are you seeing with these wide receivers that are on the board? Anything jumping off to you with these guys?
I haven't really found anything that made me attracted to Jacoby Lane yet. I just haven't seen a lot there that was exciting to me. I know he's got, you know, big, good mitts, and it's just, I was like, yeah, I don't know. Deshaun Stribling.
Not a fan either. I love Deshaun Stribling.
Right. That to me feels, if you're looking for a wide receiver, that feels safe. Like, I feel like him being at this point, that feels safe. And we already went wide receiver in the safety mark. Now, could you go two wide receiver picks in a row? Of course you can, especially when you're in the fourth round and you're just trying to get talent. You're trying to, what's crazy is the 49ers are so much better in the late rounds than they are in the early rounds, which is, I can't remember who kind of put this in my mind, but the suspicion that was put in my mind, I can't remember who it was. I really wish I could say who it was, because I know it wasn't my own idea, but it's like the 49ers are trying to fill needs early in the draft, whether they should be or not. But then as you get into the later rounds, you start relying on your scouting and your big board and who's just the best player here. Let's just bet on these straights. And the 49ers have crushed it. They've been one of the best late round drafting teams in the NFL. And so, you know, what do you start relying on? Once you get late in the round, you're trying to bet on traits. You're trying to swing for guys that you think can outperform their draft stock. And the 49ers have been really, really good at that. So at this point in the draft, it's almost like everything becomes a swing for the fences. So we got to find the guys that we feel like are safe. And Deshaun Stribling seems like a guy that's probably going to go before the fourth round.
I agree.
If he went in the third, you know, maybe even earlier in the third, but that feels safe at this point. I don't know if that has to be our safe pick, because we already went wide receiver. So maybe we did into account. But for the risky one, I don't, you know, maybe somebody like a Deion Burks is, and we haven't gone wide receiver in that one yet. And, you know, you got a smaller guy that's, you're wondering how he's going to contribute. You're wondering he's going to succeed. So there's inherent risk there. But what else do you see here?
Yeah, you know, another player, Devin Moore, the cornerback out of Florida, like 6'3", 198. He's huge, you know, ran a 4.5 flat. Like, he's played all over the place. He's just had a lot of injuries. And so, like, that's kind of the issues that I have with him, like multiple years in a row. But, like, you look at the prospect and the body, like, this dude, 6'3", you know, 200 pounds with good speed, length, is, like, awesome. I don't like him. He's flagged for me. But again, talking about these high risk players. Sam Roush, I like, tight end Stanford. I don't put him in the risk category at all.
Yeah, he would feel a little safer to me.
Brennan
Thompson,
somebody
that I would be looking at this point, though, like especially given the fact that John Lynch has come to been to a couple of their practices. Everybody tried to make it a big deal that he didn't go to their pro day. He already knows that roster. He's not going to gain anything from their pro day. But are there any offensive linemen hanging out here that you feel are safe picks at this point? Like guys that can be immediate quality depth. I know that's one of your wheelhouses. So
yeah, I like Jalen Farmer. I love Trey Zune down here. Trey Zune was a guy for A&M who played left tackle, but he's going to be a center, probably center only prospect. Okay. But I love his tape. Like, so is that, I don't know if that's like, I don't know what to do with that, because how do you value that? Is that high risk, high reward, drafting a left tackle that's never played center that you want to be a backup center? I'm not so sure that fits that category. So Catron Allen, let's talk about this for the high risk.
I've heard you mention him many times, a big body guy, right?
Big body guy. I love him. Shanahan's drafting a running back at some point draft, whether we like it or not, it is happening. I have a third round grade on Catron Allen. Like, this is a terrible running back class, if I'm going to say that, but like I have him above Mike Washington Jr. Might be one of the only people, but like he's a very good running back. He's decent out of the backfield. Wasn't asked to do that because they had the super athletic, smaller Nicholas Singleton out there doing that for most of their careers together. But like, man, I think Catron Allen kind of fits this boom bust high ceiling pick. Gosh, man, he's just so good between the tackles. I'm not sure if he's the CMC eventual replacement, but
you can never go wrong with having one of those guys. Like is he somebody you could see coming in when the 49ers get inside the 20?
Yeah.
Like, and they're just trying to pound, like they're just trying to play off Minnesota Vikings them, where they just run 8 run plays in a row and gain 6 yards per. And like does he offer anything in the pass game? Kyle Shanahan's offense has become,
he's had one drop
so
in his entire career
on
like
that,
you know. He just wasn't asked to do that, but he's got 39 rushing touchdowns for his career, 4 receiving touchdowns, kind of this Tyler Algier. Like that is what you're getting, almost carbon copy.
Kyle Shanahan seemed pretty adamant that they were going. Now, he might already think Jordan James is that guy, but everybody keeps throwing Jordan James name around. Like, we got to see something from him, when in reality, it was like a handful of playoff snaps when the game was gone and Seattle had put in backup defensive linemen. So I'm not really like, but does Catron Allen feel like a safe pick to you? Is there?
Yeah.
We need that. We need it. We need it.
Yeah. Claire Bourne's more of a Kyle Shanahan guy. Adam Randall, so many injuries throughout his whole entire life. That's more of the guy. Like, so if we're talking high risk, high ceiling, I'm going to remove Catron Allen. I would love that pick. I just wish Kyle Shanahan would use him.
We have four first rounders, man. Why? Well, let's take him with one of them. Is there anybody safer above him that you think we should prioritize right now, or should we just pull the trigger on
the
that?
The safe
right
pick for me that I would like be the happiest man alive is Zane Durant. I'm in love with this kid, man. Another rush crush. You know, this is a defensive tackle, but. You know, he was my comp for him was Osa Odighizuwa, and then we traded for Osa Odighizuwa, and then I had to change my comp because I didn't want to see like I was like, you know, whatever. He has the fastest 40-yard dash among all interior defensive linemen. I love this guy. 6'1", 290, ran a 4.7 at 290 pounds. And like, he could add weight if you want him to. He's got the experience. He's never been injured. He's played every single game ever. And 4 consecutive years for Penn State. Like, this is just the definition of you're getting a football player, and he's small, undersized. Like, you've got your big defensive tackles. This would be, dude, you just put him behind Osa Odighizuwa and you just let him learn. And like, dude, when Osa's not in, he's in. And like, you're the understudy and you get like character A+, everything you want, injuries A+, athleticism A+, captain A+, like he wants to be a dietitian for sports guys. Like, that's his career after football. Like, he's one of the safest players in this draft for me.
Okay, then let's narrow it down. Then let's make him let's consider him our safe pick. What's going to be our quote on, and we're in the fourth round. Is there really going to be any inherent risk? No, but what else do we got sitting here that we could say is more of a swing for the fences bet on traits?
Eli Raridan. Oh goodness. You want to talk traits, the tight end. Eli.
A lot of people are big fans of him. I've seen some people that assume he's like going to be a high level starter.
He is 6'7", 245 pound. He's got 10¾-inch hands, like some of the biggest hands like ever. Ran a 4.6, you know, played a lot of spots. The problem is he has torn his ACL twice.
Oh no.
And so now his last ACL was 2023. So you're talking 24 and 25.
You know who else tore their ACL twice?
Frank Gore.
Didn't even have to ask you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit of, you know, sprinkle some 49ers fairy dust.
Yeah, right here. Yeah, Tony says, oh, what's up, Tony? How you doing, man? Ringini, the man.
That was 2 years ago, John.
It was. but like, again, like
people don't forget.
These are guys that I flag. I don't remove players from my board. Isaiah World, you know, another guy that was probably going to be, you know, probably a second round pick, whatever.
Literally the size of the world.
He's huge. 6'8", 312. He tore his ACL in the college football playoffs. You know what I mean? So like this was a guy that was back into the first, second round. Tore his ACL in the college football playoffs, but he's 22 years old. His tape is very, very good. Well coached, you know, Oregon, they put out great offensive line play, very functionally sound, all those things. Like he's awesome. He got over 3,200 career snaps, the most for any offensive lineman in this draft at the tackle position. Like he's awesome. It's going to take him time. He's 6'8", 312. Could he play?
That sounds very Isaiah World sounds very swing for the fences ish. Like you can understand why we don't have an offensive lineman in the swing for the fences draft, right? Do we?
We do not.
And I don't care about playing the game like, oh, we can take someone higher and he'll probably be available in the other fourth round picks. Just treat each one of them like it's its own thing. But that feels very swing for the fences ish. A funny like dichotomy between the two would be, you take Sam Roush with the safe one and you take Eli Raridan with the swing for the fences pick. You know what I mean? Like it's,
I like that,
but it's not, that's cheesy. That's just me. We in no way should or have to do that,
but why not? I Sam Roush is safe as hell, dude. Like he's such a fun player. But yeah, so I like that. The Isaiah World for the risky pick, the offensive tackle. Okay. And yeah, I like that. And so Zane Durant or Sam Roush, the defensive tackle Penn State or tight end Sam Roush. Sam Roush, yeah, I think both of those. I would be shocked if Zane Durant fell that far to 127. Okay. I would not be shocked if Sam Roush did. I think he's likelier to fall, but...
I think that if you're taking into account just a little bit of need, probably Sam Roush would take priority, just given they've got at defensive line. But it's totally up to you, man. This is your wheelhouse. I'm just hanging around in the bat seat enjoying the ride.
I love it. All right, I'm going Isaiah World for our risky pick or high ceiling risk, and we took Sam Roush.
Really fits the mold too, like that. In at this point, fits the mold.
We do have a trade offer from the Cowboys. They keep trying to trade us every single time it's them. We would fall back from pick 133.
By this time, Jerry Jones is drunk, so it's just he's dialing up friends.
Johnny Walker Black, baby. That's his. That's what he goes to. So they're offering their fifth and next year's sixth rounder. So you'd fall back 44 spots from the fourth to the fifth round and pick up a sixth rounder next year. I'd be all right with it, but I'm not going to. That's the only one we got. I'm going to say no, but I'd be all right with it.
Okay, so we're back.
And we're back, baby. Sam Roush still there, but we took him in our other one. Jacoby Lane, Dalen Everett, Brennan Thompson.
Dalen Everett's a pretty good player.
This is another player I want to enter into our risk ceiling pick. Brennan Thompson, one of the fastest players ever at the Combine. Ran a 4.2, I think it was like 4.26 off the top of my head, but like crazy production in the SEC. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in the SEC. Like, he's just small. He's tiny. Very, very similar to kind of that Deion Burks, whatever. But you're talking elite athletic profile with elite production in the SEC. Kind of a weird offense again. You know, in Mississippi State, they do that. Briles, you know, very similar to what Jordan Watkins did last year, where It's just kind of weird. But he would probably be the slot guy. Could play X, but I don't think so. Probably going to be a Z.
Does he have speed that a team's going to respect? Does he have a skill set coupled with speed that you think a team is going to respect? There's some guys with speed that I feel like teams don't take seriously because they're kind of a one-trick pony, and they know how to play him. As long as the guy's done his homework, he knows how to match up with them. But, you know, if a guy bring, and that's where I felt like Marquise Goodwin started to get a little bit towards his end of his tenure with his 49ers. He had that elite speed, and you saw him start to sharpen up his routes a little bit, where that speed creates space for yourself. But so many, speed is such a, I feel like speed is such a low indicator for NFL success. You have to have the other stuff. How many speed guys have we seen blow away the combine and then do nothing in the league? You know what I mean? So it's got to be more to that skill set. But at this point in the draft, you know, he's small. There's risk in the pick of him being small. And, you know, that's just an uphill battle for him. But you can see you're swinging for the fences in his ability and what you want out of him.
My favorite thing about him is, like, watching his tape, it's not a lot of gadget plays. It's a lot of posts, a deep end breakers, you know, what, like,
somebody's
he's
got
a
run
deep
him.
Threat. And his man grade is good, 76.8. Like, it's not just a zone guy. Like, he has a lot of success versus man versus zone. And there's nobody close to him whenever he catches the ball, almost ever. Like, everybody just basically
says,
Bruber
gave him a third round grade.
He's got some elite tape. It's not like he's playing nobody. Michigan State was terrible, but they're playing in the SEC. And, like, this dude just keeps doing what he does. Average 18 and a half yards per catch. Like he's a big play guy. Drops are an issue. How big are his hands? 9-inch hands flat. Like, you got small hands, tiny hands. But I like him. Like, I think that this is, you know, again, we almost went Deion Burks. You know, I entered in a conversation last time. Like, I'm cool with Brennan Thompson being one of our risk picks here because we haven't gone wide receiver. That's the thing.
On the risky one. Yeah, then I like that. Then I like that.
So that would give us Dylan Thienemann, Gabe Akis, Isaiah World, and Brennan Thompson in our risk mock. Now our safe one, Keldrick Falk, Jeremy Bernard, Sam Roush. We have not gone any O-line, corner safety, or what else here? Running back. We haven't touched that either.
Well, where's your, you know, we got to keep, is Catron Allen still there? I mean, we got to respect that love.
I think he is still there. He is still there.
So, I mean, and if it, to me, the definition of safe, especially when you're thinking of 49ers draft, is that they're going to take a running back. Like, that is, if you wanted to bet on what, you know, literally bet what the 49ers were going to take, your safest bet would be that they would select a running back. So, you know, if you're expanding the definition of safe, then throwing a running back in there that John Chapman loves it seems like a no brainer. Highest running back on the board.
Yeah, I think that would be a huge one. If you're going Sealand, Damon Claiborne or Adam Randall would be that, but safe, we're going Catron Allen. And on these ones, I keep picking the risky ones on there. So yeah, risk Brennan Thompson, safe. We go Catron Allen. We got another trade here. Pick 138 for 181 in next year's six. Very similar. I'm just going to stay away from those. All right. Here we go. We're back on the board. A lot of the same guys.
Is Eli Raridan still on the board?
Oh, let's go check. Where's my tight end button? There we go. Eli Raridan still there. We do not have a tight end in the risky.
It's a good, given the two ACLs, a fairy dust, maybe. I mean, that's something to keep in our back pocket. Is there anybody else on the,
love that.
The
what have we not drafted in the safe? We've got an edge, wide receiver, tight end, and running back in the safe one. What are we
that
missing?
Defensive lineman you were just talking about still there?
Oh, dude. Come on, bro. He is still there.
It's also a safe assumption to assume that the 49ers would add another defensive lineman because, to me, like, you just keep looking at Super Bowl champions or teams competing in the Super Bowl. It's defensive line, defensive front, defensive line, defensive front. It might be one of the best indicators of who's going all the way.
Yeah, I like that. So safe, we're going defensive tackle, Zane Durant, we've already talked about. And risky, I like the tight end pick, who we've already talked about, Eli Raridan, who's, you know,
what I kind of
huge.
Appreciate is I kind of like both of our drafts right now.
I'm not mad about them. I'm not bad about him. Is this our last pick? 139. This is our last pick. So let's hone in on the
this
risky
is the very
side.
Last one.
This is it. So we've got a safety, an edge, an offensive tackle, a wide receiver, and a tight end. It's your last pick if you want to address a certain position. We don't have a running back for the risk ceiling.
I have one for you.
Oh, here we go.
Already texted you about him.
Oh, I muted my thing.
Stop doing that.
Oh, my bad, dude. My bad.
Okay.
Who is it? I'm scrolling.
Eli. He might not even be a wide receiver on this board. Or actually be a running back. He might be a wide receiver on here.
Hendricks.
Eli Heidenreich.
There he is. Navy.
Courtesy of Matt Barrows. Now, he's way down on this big board.
They have him as a wide receiver, but I think,
you go to Dane Brugler's beast. He is the 9th-ranked running back. And where does he have him? Let me see.
Oh, I love
him. No, these. I'm not just picking him because he's white. Okay. I know it's coming. I know it's coming.
What's the one stat about his? Did he, the 3-cone? He ran a 6.55, which is like Debo ran a 7, like 7 flat. Like this, the change of direction. Like Eli Heidenreich didn't make my top 200. Having said that, like I get it, because if you're looking for the CMC quote unquote clone,
weird offense.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love watching. I played triple option in high school. Like, that was my school's, like, whatever. I loved it. And so, like, whenever I get to watch that stuff, I'm just like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about swing for the fences, we're having to reach on the board for a player that's way down there. Now, again, Dane Brugler gave him a 5th-round grade. We're at the very end of the 4th round. So if you like Dane Brugler and you like the beast, we're right there. The dude had 77 carries for 500 yards at 6.48 yards per carry, which is very respectable. The dude also had 51 catches for 941 yards and 6 touchdowns. I don't know, you know, Christian McCaffrey's receiving ability is great, but he's still such a great running back. Like, and that may be falling off a little bit. We might have seen that. I don't want to put the 49ers' inability to run the ball all on the offensive line. You know, it's probably a little bit of both. But at the same time, I don't know how well Eli would be able to replace Christian McCaffrey in the run game, but just watching him, he will be able to do, and you can't say everything. Christian McCaffrey's a very special player, but he will be able to do 90-something% of the things in the pass game that Christian McCaffrey does with the same amount of shiftiness and ability and hands. There's one toe drag catch where Eli caught it and he drug his toe for like what looked like 5 yards, like all while fully extending and catching the ball with his fingertips. That dude has a crazy skill set. I don't know when he's going to go. He could go. I could see somebody like that going anywhere from like the 4th round to like the 7th. It's just such a weird skill set in a weird offense. But if we're talking a swing for the fences pick, Kyle Shanahan's got to draft a running back. We're at the last pick. This dude has the skill set to give Christian McCaffrey some relief. If Kyle Shanahan's trying to call those plays where he needs his running back to do something in the pass game, then Eli Heidenreich is going to do that. And again, courtesy to Matt Barrows for introducing me to him. I texted him later that night after I watched him. I was like, I went from not knowing who this guy is to being disappointed if the 49ers leave that draft without him. Oh. You know, and you got to understand, too, with that last pick in the 4th round, and this flies against the face of what a big board is supposed to be. That's your, if somebody's jumping up and down on the table saying we have to have this guy, that's when it's going to be picked with that last pick in the 4th round. No one in that room is going to care what his grade is if there's somebody pounding the table hard enough for a guy and that's the type of relationship they have in the draft room, they're going to take him here. So it might be a weird pick, and this is a weird pick, but that dude has a crazy skill set and may have a chance of really replacing Christian McCaffrey.
I like it. I like it. Hey, that's our pick. That's perfect. So we'll highlight the end of the risk high ceiling mock here in a second. We still got one pick left in our safe scheme fit mold. We've gone edge, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and defensive tackle. We have no offensive lineman. We have no safety. We have, yeah, any of those would probably be the 2 spots.
Offensive line seems like an obvious choice at this point. Is there anybody that stands out to you as like a great safe pick here for an offensive lineman?
Yeah, there's quite a bit available. Like I the more and more I spend time with this draft class, the more and more I'm just like, dude, there's some really, really good players here. You know, again,
AC Davis, Rush Crush.
I freaking love this dude. I just really, really do. And I just think that he is just one of those guys that checks almost all the boxes. You know, not dominant play or anything along those lines, but it's just like, man, you watch him and you just, you know, during this process, whenever you go through and you're like, okay, this guy, not this guy because of this, not this guy because of that, but like 6'4", 322, 34 and a quarter inch amps. He's played literally everywhere. Now, he's played left tackle, but I would have no problem with him kicking into left guard. But like, this is a left tackle type guy. He's never missed time, no injuries, graded out incredibly well in the run game, ideal build. Like, it's just, and I think that he does have some ceiling to him, but he started 49 consecutive games and just, he's just awesome.
Huge part of safe. That's a huge part of safe, is just proving that you are available and you're reliable. I saw Trevor Sikkema and his podcast or YouTube show that he does on the side. I can't remember what it's called. It's got a clever name. They had a whole episode or a whole section.
Is it the Draft Exchange?
Yes, that is it.
There we go.
They had a whole section or a whole section of a pod, I think, devoted to JC Davis and just kind of how he was being a little undervalued.
I just think he's just too clean a player. And whenever you get to this, you know, into the fourth round, this is essentially a fifth round pick, is what Kyle Shanahan will say.
Kyle, like, it literally says fourth round on the pick. It's not a fifth
round pick, but I really like him. I don't think he's a perfect player, but like whenever you're getting to here, I'm just like, holy cow. And there's more guys there. Diego Pons, I really like. Trey Zun, the center we talked about. I like Jude Bowery considerably. But like, if you're asking me of all these players, like who's the safest that you don't have to project too much with, give me somebody that has elite experience, elite tape, no injury concerns, good in the pass game, good in the run game, can fix his anchor a little bit, but like, dude's just good. It's consistent tape. Not a big difference between his highlights and his tape, which is one of my favorite things whenever you get to linemen. Like,
Steady Eddie.
So I'm going to go JC Davis there. Are you, any problems with that? Are we okay?
I have no problems with that.
All right, JC Davis. And then, and
if I do, I'll bring him up with you later in private. We're not going to air our dirty laundry here.
There we go. So let me scroll way down to find our Eli. He's like 230.
He says guard over tackle. Is JC Davis somebody you could see playing guard for a couple years? And then could you see him staying at guard if for some reason things swung where they didn't have to put him back at tackle?
Yeah, and he's played on the left side his whole career. Like, a lot of people don't understand. Like, I don't know. I coached O-line for a while. It's a lot easier to move a left tackle to a left guard than it is sometimes moving a left tackle to a right tackle.
Right, so you're like asking their whole body, you know, muscle memory to change.
It's like asking a middle school kid to do a left-handed layup. Sometimes it just don't work. Like it just takes a while. But like your movement and your post steps and your anchor steps and all those things are just consistent. You don't have to kick slide as much. The anchor was one of my things where it could anchor better, but this is somebody that I think could add some weight too. So like,
you ever snowboarded?
I'm a skier. I snowboarded a few times. I didn't like it. I'm more of a skier.
You're cooler than me, Rob. The left versus right thing. Like, I was so uncomfortable. I've only snowboarded a few times, but I was so uncomfortable heel turning to my left that I would always just I was always comfortable turning to my right. So if I needed to go left, I'm mixing it up. I would always just flip myself over so I could always heel turn the same way. It was I just wasn't comfortable switching sides. I wasn't an Omni, whatever that movie quote is, but. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Nothing
you can read minds. Enough, but. all right. So let's see here. This is our on the screen here is our risk draft. We took Dylan Thienemann, Gabe Akers in the second, Isaiah World coming off the ACL, Brennan Thompson, wide receiver, with crazy speed and, you know, tiny but super fast. Eli Raridan, and then Eli Heidreich. We got an F.
Eli's. There has to be. That's.
They give us an F.
Either great or bad. Yeah, they don't know anything.
There we go. So we got a B+ for Thienemann, A+ for Akers, C+ for World, A+ for Brennan, B for Raridan, and an F, a big solid F for Mr. Heidenreich. We got two Elis. So, you know, the draft of Elis. Oh, look at this. I got it. Anthony right here. He's like, man, can't wait to see John's face of disappointment. The look John made when we drafted Jake Moody. I have this still shot. Here it is right here. The moment we drafted They drafted Jake Moody. Shout out to Brian Carter 99, who was with me. Yeah, that was a rough one. Now, the flip side, let's talk the safe draft. Keldrick Faulk fell to 27, one of the safest players in this draft. Jeremy Bernard, one of the safest wide receivers in the draft. Sam Roush, safest tight end in this draft. Gatron Allen. It doesn't have the receiving prowess that you'd like, but like that dude is going to be in the NFL for a long time. Like he is a number two running back, period, paragraph. Zane Durant, oh, freaking love him. Elite athletic profile, plays all the time. Does he get injured? JC, like, I love both these drafts, Rob.
I feel like I do too.
Oh, do you have one you prefer? Like, oof. I think I'd go safe. I think I'd go safe draft.
I think I'd go safe.
Tony Gwynn's in the Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen. So is what's his name? Is Sosa? Sosa's in the Hall of Fame. He got in finally, didn't he? Or is he not?
I have no clue.
Oh, dude, I
I'm starting to gravitate more towards baseball now that they have the challenges.
Sammy Sosa, is he in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, at Chicago's Cubs Hall of Fame, not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's right, he is not. Never mind. So Tony Gwynn is. There we go. Yeah, Skylar Bell and Bernard swapped those out. I like Bell a little bit more than Bernard, but you know, as far as talking safe, Bernard is safer for me. We do have a couple super chats and comments I want to throw up here real quick, if you don't mind, Rob. Yatsik, my man, appreciate you, Yatsik. You're the best. He says, "What is up?" JLC, John Chapman, not Jennifer Lee Chance. She's amazing. I'm not as cool as her, but great initials for both of us. Faithful, draft less 2 weeks out. By the way, the 49ers Rush draft book is amazing. Go and get it, y'all. Thank you so much. Go to the 49ersrush.com. That is up in our player breakdown section, or you can go to our Patreon channel, and it is right there where you can download everything. We've put a lot of work into there. Check that out right here. Big Tone. We got some more MMA stuff going on. Josh Hockett, former camp body. One of the best fights I've ever seen this weekend. Check out the highlights. There's good brisket out there. Just have to find it. I love brisket, man. Put effort into the like to all your videos. Thank you, Big Tone. It means the world to me. And appreciate you hyping up all these other great things. Barbecue, freaking UFC, all that stuff. I did UFC training for like 4 years in high school and grad school. I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
There are very few things on this planet that will get you into shape faster than mixed martial arts training.
Yep. It's, dude, it doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in until you roll around on that mat for a while. You, many vomits have taken place, sadly. Tommy, my man, what's up? He says, no more streaming with Lair Bear? Oh, absolutely. I'm still recording with the Krugsmeister. He's a good dude, man. But yeah, I saw he announced some new stuff today and happy for him. But yeah, we'll still do some shows together. At least I plan to. We'll see how that goes. I like recording with people that expand the audience, and he's a fun guy and puts together amazing work in the draft fair. Anyway,
there is a good dude, bad scout.
Likes a lot of the back end guys. Like, if I would hire Larry as like a draft development guy and just say, dude, find all the undrafted free agents, you're in charge, because he freaking loves that stuff. But
Larry would trade his first rounder for 2 second rounders, his 2 second rounders for 4 third rounders, his 4 third rounders for 8 fourth rounders, and then, you know, just go to town and have a 40 man draft class.
I love it, man.
I think he did it with that mock draft. I think he's already done that.
Yeah, he likes to trade, man. He's a man of conviction. I will say that, him and John Wick both. Now, Rob, what else is on your agenda for the next couple weeks? What do you got going on in Striking Gold? What we have to look forward to, my friend?
Well, me and KP will be back on the pod on Wednesday, and we are doing an episode. We are breaking down our favorite picks per round, like just our guys, kind of like a Striking Gold, whatever the version of the 49ers Rush Crush type of thing. Our favorite picks and our least favorite picks per round, like the guys you're tired of seeing associated with the 49ers. Avoid that type of thing. Shamar Stewart type of thing. Like, just, hey, come on, and what's funny is it doesn't always work. Eric Armstead used to be one of those. I was like, every time I kept seeing his name associated with him, I was like, no, come on, can we do something else? And shows you what I know. That guy had still having a great career. But then I'm back on here with you next Monday doing our vaunted top 30 mock draft. As long as we'll spice it up no matter how. We'll make it happen. But
yeah, we only draft people that the 49ers have visited with. And that's hard to do. Every single time, but it is. It's
fun. They added Chris Brazel to the mix, so now we know who we're doing in the second round.
I was pumped. I like Chris Brazel. But like, he's not a rush crush guy for me, right? Like, he's got some off the field stuff. There's a lot of bust to his game.
I didn't know about the off the field stuff.
Yeah, I got a very excessive speeding. Didn't show up to court. Got caught driving without his license after that. And it was just like, okay, now we're talking some repeated behavior. It's nothing that's like, you know, Jack Jones-esque. Don't want to dive into that too much. But if you want to see some craziness, type in Jack Jones off the field stuff, who the 49ers just signed, which I don't mind taking a risk on a free agent that's played a lot of time. But yeah, we'll see what that is. Right here, Strawberry says, John, you doing another live event with Ant this year? Yeah, I think we will be. I'll be live for
Shout
sure.
Out to Ant, man. Love Ant.
I freaking love that, man. Yeah, we had Rob on in the past. I don't know if Rob wants to jump on at any point in the draft. You have an open invitation for all or none or any of it. I'm just going to send you the thing, and you want to jump in for 5 minutes, you can, because we enjoy having you on here, man. Any closing thoughts, takeaways before we jump out of here, my friend?
No, I'm actually pretty impressed. I feel like we put together two quality mock drafts. I have enough trouble putting together one quality mock draft. So for us to have put together two of them that, you know, if either of those were any sort of a reflection of what the 49ers did with their draft class this year, I'd be pretty impressed. Either way, I can see a way in which it would be a successful draft class. So, I mean, I'm patting ourselves on the back here, a little self-serving, but I think we did a pretty good job. I like both of those.
Dude, Dylan Thienemann would be a fan favorite in like 2 weeks. Like,
right.
Everybody, like, we've had such bad safety play for quite a while. You know, you could take out, I don't know, maybe not.
What I like about him too is the 49ers defense is so much better with a smart veteran safety, and Dylan Thienemann almost instantly inserts that. Now, he's still a rookie, he's still a young player, but he's got a good head on his shoulders, and that's what serves him a lot, you know, as far as route recognition and being in the right place at the right time goes. So that'd be a fun pick. That would be a fun pick. I don't think
it'll
be there.
2,517 snaps already at the college football level. One of the most of any safety in this draft class.
Sweet.
All right. That's going to do it for us here. Everybody check out Rob Louder at Rob_Louder on the Twitter sphere. And if you want to check him out, you got to, man. Striking Gold Podcast. It is incredible. This show will be over there as well. So go download that. Please support both. I'm 49ers Rush. If you want to check that out, it's it's meh sometimes.
It is not meh. It is outstanding. I love listening to it. You deserve your flowers. One of the best 49ers podcasts out there. And it is constantly playing on my phone. So give yourself some credit, man. It's an absolutely fantastic place to be and hang out.
I'm gonna go
Simple
change.
Jack is always lurking.
I love it, man. I'm going to go change my Facebook profile now. That's happening. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. For everybody else out there, stay amazing. And until next time, stay strong, faithful. Peace.